Welcome you here this morning. We're here for the memorial service of our dear brother Lawrence Bassa. And we come together this morning to remember our brother and remember the life of Christ that shines so brightly through our brother. Lawrence was a very passionate, loving person, as I think everybody in this room knows. And we were all touched by that passion, by that love. And the number one thing that our brother desired to do was to satisfy his Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we come together this morning, let's begin with a hymn. I'm going to ask, actually, if you can, to go ahead and stand. Our brother would want us to sing loudly and to proclaim the wonderful grace of Jesus. This was our brother's story. This was his passion in life, was to praise his Savior and sing of his wonderful grace. And we know now he is in those loving arms beholding the Lord Jesus face to face. So let's sing together. Brother Tyson to come up and open in prayer.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We come together to celebrate the victorious life of you in our dear brother. Lord Jesus, we thank you for such a demonstration of your wonderful grace. Lord, we thank you that your words tell us to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. Our dear brother is in the best place, that is in your bosom. Amen. The Lord, we thank you and praise you for the testimony of our dear brother. Amen. We thank you. He is such an obedient son to his mother. Amen. Is such faithful husband to his wife. Amen. Is such loving father to his son. Amen. Lord, we thank you this life. We thank him would encourage us to run after you, Lord. Amen. Jesus. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen. For your words also remind us the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. Lord, such a wonderful life demonstrated by our dear brother. Amen. We thank you that you have called him to have such a peaceful place to be with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We also pray for the family, for brother's mother and the wife, Chet, and the son, Levi. We pray that your comfort will be such a wonderful comfort for them so that they can be the testimony of yours and while walking on this path of faith. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated, please. Our brother James will come up and share some scriptures that are in your program as well.
We will read four passages from the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name.
All right, well, I'd like to ask Levi to come up.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm reading the obituary today, and part of my eulogy as well. So on Sunday, January 19th, 2020, Lawrence Liamson Bassa, loving husband, son, and father of one son, passed away at age 60. My father was born to Leandro and Lydia Bassa in July 23rd, 1959, in Quezon City, Philippines. He's the eldest of three siblings, Lilybeth and Lynn. In 1969, Lawrence received Christ to be his personal Lord and Savior of his life. From preschool to high school, Lawrence attended Grace Christian School in Quezon City. After high school, Lawrence did 2 years of full-time training for ministry of the gospel. My father received a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration in the University of Santo Tomas in the Philippines. After college, my father resumed his full-time training of the gospel in different localities such as Metro Manila and Taiwan. My father started preaching the gospel and serving the young people. During this time, my father met the love of his life, Maria Chirito del Rosario, and they were engaged on June 12, 1988. Lawrence then immigrated with his parents in October 1989 to the United States. On January 30, 1990, Lawrence and Chirito got married in Flushing, New York. In November 1990, the happy couple settled down in Houston, Texas. My father was employed in premium computers for 5 years and moved to Professional Compounding Centers of America as a product analyst and a prepacker till this present day. During this time, the family found their home church in Houston. And the church is Houston Christian Assembly. In addition to his work, Lawrence served as a speaker, a teacher of the young people here, a dishwasher in the churches of Houston Christian Assembly, Dumble, and Galveston Christian Assembly for over 20 years. Through his life, you can see two very big themes that are very important to my father. The first is family. Family has always been important to my dad. I could see his love for us in everyday life, and not just the big things, but the little things too. Right after my dad would finish work, he would come straight home so he can make dinner for my grandma and stay with her. He would always wait for me and my mom to come home from school and work. Because I'm really involved at school, I would come home really late. And even though he knew he had to wake up at 5:45 in the morning, he'd stay up and wait for me till I got home. He made sure that I was safe until I got. After he would shower, he would sit with me as I ate my dinner. He'd always joke with me and my mom, saying he shouldn't be downstairs at night because he would always eat something, and you know he shouldn't. Before he fell asleep, he always made it a priority for me and my mom to pray together before he went to sleep. The second, I think, the most important part of my father's life is he was a lover of God, and he wanted everyone to meet him and know about him. There would be days when I would come home, and I would study until very late at night. I would come out of my room and still see my dad praying and working on the message for the next Sunday. He would do this for the majority of the week. And every Thursday, before Bible study, he and I would sit down, read the passage together for the following day, and he would ask my thoughts on it. We would share with each other, and he made sure what I was going to share on Friday night was correct in front of the eyes of the Lord. He loved the brothers and sisters, wherever they came from. He was always intentional about spending time with them. He especially loved spending time with the young people. There's one story that my dad, he would always tell me, and it is the first story that I remember him talking about. This was his first message. He told me this story. There was a man that was preaching the gospel. And he said, if you want to receive Christ, come back tomorrow to this church. That night, the church burned down, and the man regretted not preaching the gospel that night. My dad would take any time and opportunity to share the gospel with others. He wants everyone to know that there is a Father who loves you so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. And this Son rose again from the grave. And now my dad is praising the name of the Father in heaven right now. Lawrence Basso loved God and his family. This is my father.
Amen. So we'll continue with the eulogy, and we'd like to ask Joshua to come up and share.
Good morning. When I heard that Boyd, we call him Boyd at home, Lawrence has gone to be with the Lord, I was saddened and shocked beyond belief. He was 5 years younger than me. Nevertheless, I was comforted by the word of God. He had run the race. He had finished his course. The crown of glory had been prepared for him. He is an overcomer the first fruit of God for God's satisfaction. Lawrence was the eldest with two younger sisters. He was raised in a Christian home and was a third generation Christian believer. As a child, he loved to read comics books. Among his favorite, as cousin Jonathan recalled, were Classic Illustrated, Lassies, David Crockett, Sad Sacks, Slugo, Little Aldrich, Little Lulu, to name a few. As he grew up, however, his tastes changed. He started to spend more time reading the Bible and scriptures, spiritual books. Apart from reading, he also loved to sing, especially hymns of praise. Cousin Jesse mentioned to me that one of his favorites was A Victor, because of Calvary. His desire was to be an overcomer. As a student, Lawrence was diligent and serious with his study. I recall an instance which was confirmed by my sister Annabel. When Lawrence came home one day, looking very sad, apparently he failed to ace the test. He had one wrong answer. Even though Auntie Lydia did not reprimand him, yet tears rolled down his cheeks, feeling disappointed of himself. Lawrence was close to his parents and siblings. When they first migrated to New York, I often remember seeing his father, son huddled together in deep discussion over God's words. As Uncle Leandro showed Lawrence how some concepts should be presented. And I was told that Lilibet always has a fixed time or fixed schedule with Lawrence every Lord's Day. Around 7 in the evening, he will be shepherding her spiritually and caring as a brother. Cousin Vanya recalled that in 2009, when his youngest sister Lynn and her family came to Canada, Lawrence accompanied Auntie Lydia, flew all the way from Houston to see his little sister settle in. And you know what? When they were both at work, Lawrence would call Chad from his workplace during his lunch break, and Chad would call him before heading home from work. Lawrence also spent quality time with Levi, establishing a bond with his son as deep as he had with Uncle Leandro. Lawrence's love and care extend beyond his immediate family. In cousins Tim and Emma's word, Lawrence was a very sweet and caring person who thinks about the welfare of other people first and foremost before his own. Cousin Tim and Emma remembered him paying them a surprise visit at home on their first wedding anniversary. He was concerned and wanted to know how they were doing living on their own in a small little apartment. Cousin Raquel remembered him going out of his way to call her and offer words of comfort over long distance when Brother Ramon went to be with the Lord. In his life, Lawrence loved and honored his parents, cared for his sisters, cherished his wife Charito, and his son Levi. But above all, he loved God and let the divine love flow out to those around him. Cousin Philip summed up Lawrence's life nicely when he said, "From an early age, Lawrence loved the Lord, and he continued to love and serve the Lord throughout his life. He was absolute and pure in heart in loving the Lord. His living was his testimony. We will miss you, Boyd. Your passing has left a vacuum in our lives. Thank you for being such a good example to all of us. Till we meet again."
Niece Genevieve.
Hi, I'm Lawrence's niece, Genevieve. Most people don't get to know their extended family very well, but I spent every summer of my childhood here, sweating in Houston and getting attacked by mosquitoes. because I'm from Colorado. But it was worth it because I got to grow up surrounded by my grandma, aunt, my uncle, and eventually my cousin when he was born. What has always been apparent to me is just how much my uncle loved God and loved his family, as you all know, including his family in Christ. Even as a tiny kid, my uncle was a solid source of love and comfort for me. I remember taking naps on his belly because it was the perfect shape and it made all the right sounds. And not once did he complain about this massive unconscious weight on him. Fast forward a few years, and he always took me and my sister to the movies, even the ones he didn't care about because he slept through most of them. My uncle was a strong believer of naps. And he also taught me things, the most useful one being how to fight for the check at a restaurant. There are so many techniques. The first one is that cash is king. You will lose if you try to sneak a card on my uncle. And second, you go to the bathroom at some point during the meal and you pay then. And third, I watched him tell the server that the other person's card would never work and only his money was good there. So, in all seriousness, I'm sure you all know what a generous and giving man my uncle was. I think it was a way for him to not only show his love for all of you, but also to show God's love through him. And that's a lesson I will never forget.
Thank you. Sister Lynn.
When I heard the news about my brother, I asked the Lord, why? Why so sudden? Why so soon? He said, because he's ripe already. It's time for harvest. That lead me to this verse in Mark 4:29. As soon as the grain is ripe, he put the sickle to it because the harvest has come. There are three things that would always remind me of my brother. First is his passion for the word and the love for the Lord. He was baptized at the age of 9, very pure, very fervent in loving the Lord. He attended almost every meeting in church. I think the only meeting you don't attend is the sisters' meeting. Very active in leading the young people. He is as sickly as a child, in and out of the doctor. But his physical aspect has not hindered him from serving the Lord. As in 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. This is the testimony of my brother. He would spend hours praying and reading the Bible. No wonder he is well equipped with God's word. Whenever I have some uncertainties with principles and truth, he would always lead me to the Bible and begin with the sentence, the Bible says. Secondly is his compassionate and selfless heart. My brother is a very simple person, frugal with himself. He rarely buys things for himself, but to others, he is very generous. He will always be giving and on the lookout of brothers and sisters who are in need. He would rather spend his last money to others rather than to himself. Thirdly is his love for family. When my dad left us, he took the responsibility of taking care of my mom and the two of us, in addition to the responsibility to his family. I gave birth to my son 2 months after my dad passed away, here in Texas. My husband was with my daughter in the Philippines. It so happened I have a very cry baby. Every time he would hear the baby cry, he would rush to the room, pick the baby up, and will tell me, go get some sleep. In the morning, he will collect all the used bottles, wash, sterilize it, pick up all the used diapers, wash all the dirty clothes before he goes to work. Coming home, he will buy things for me, food, diapers, milk for the baby. I lived there for 6 months. He took care and loved my son as if it was his own. Every time I come to visit him, he will call me and secretly put an envelope in my pocket. I will ask, "What is it?" He will say, "Just take it. Don't say anything about it." Whenever he knows I am sick or have a problem, he would call me and said, "Do you want me to pray with you?" He was such a loving brother. I will surely miss him. One regret I have today, I wasn't able to tell him how much I love him. A lesson learned the hard way. If you love somebody, show them now. Tell them before it's too late. If ever you decide to love the Lord, it is now. As a phrase in the hymn that says, "If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now." I believe all those who are here today are those people who their lives have been touched in one way or the other by my brother. He is a living testimony of God's love, firm yet loving. Today we find comfort knowing he's in the bosom of the Father. We mourn his passing, but we will celebrate his living. His life is not in vain. Thank you.
I'd like to ask David Ashworth from PCCA to come up.
Welcome. And thank you for coming out today. My name is David Ashworth, and I've had the honor to work with Lawrence Bassa for 20 years. It's a hard day for us all, especially for the family and the loved ones. It's also hard to find the right words to talk about an extraordinary man who lived a big life in a few short minutes. He started at PCCA 20 years ago in a shipping department and quickly moved to our home in chemical repack. Once he learned the processes in chemical repack, he became the fastest repacker that we've had. He held that record for 20 years. And I don't think that record's going to be broken for another 20 years. Our department had 8 people in it, so we were close. Lawrence was known for a lot of things, but really 2 things stand out: his work ethics and his love for Christ. His repacking, like I mentioned, was the fastest, and he kept it up for 20 years. He had a unique skill, and that skill was weighing incredibly small amounts of material. In comparison, he would weigh items less than the weight of a snowflake repeatedly, over and over. And he enjoyed this. This was his passion at work. And he would be upset if anybody was to try to take that job from him. So he worked so fast and efficiently. It's a story that people love to tell. When the company would consider buying weighing equipment, they would review the data of the manufacturer's specs against that equipment to Lawrence Boss's track record and his speed to determine whether we need that piece of equipment or not. Hands down, Lawrence won every time. The department that he was in was a second family. The average person's service in that department, and this is average, was 18 years. Lawrence served within the department going on 20 years, so he got to know everyone deeply. We got to watch everyone grow up, each other's children being born, go to school, grow into adults. We knew a lot about each other. His work would require him to be in a room with other employees for hours upon end. Imagine working with someone for this length of time. You really get to know them. Just like the family at home, Lawrence gave his time. He listened. He provided us with spiritual advice, and most of all, he gave us his love. Other times he would get on to us about what was spiritually right and wrong and how to correct it. He spoke the truth and didn't hold back. He was an honest man. Looking back, he was like a father that kept his house in order. Trenda writes, the 20 years that I've known Lawrence, he's always demonstrated his diligence to serve the Lord and honor God first, family and friends. When he came to work, the first thing he would do was look at his work schedule and plan a mission on how he was going to complete his daily task. Sometimes Lawrence would skip his breaks, cut his lunch short, and say, ma'am. By the way, Lawrence was probably the most polite individual at work I've seen. He would say, ma'am, you know what I need to do. Let me go back. And this, and all his work would be completed before the end of the day. He would even have time left over to go help other employees that were not able to finish their work. Lawrence had a special relationship with each other's co-workers. He often took a group of us to lunch monthly, and before eating, Lawrence would say, let us pray. Also, Lawrence, and as mentioned before, would never let us pay. As hard as we tried. We tried tricks and everything, but he was smart. He caught on. We miss and remember all the Bible studies that helped create that he helped create in his love, encouraging words that he shared with each other. Kim Wilson writes, Lawrence touched my life in many ways. He would always tell me how much he loved the Lord. Whenever I didn't understand something in the Bible, he would always break it down for me and explain it with Scripture. He made it so clear. He would completely get I would completely get better understanding of what it meant. Lawrence truly knew what it meant to walk with the Lord. I will miss him greatly. Other employees mentioned, he was always giving his time for anyone who had troubles, and he would always make the time to sit down and talk to anyone. His advice was always sound and scripture-based. Lawrence was a stabilizing influence in our company, a man of God and conviction. Many said he was their anchor. He was a teacher, a mentor, a confidant, and most of all, a friend. How amazing that our CEO of the company would routinely come down, sit with Lawrence, and have lengthy conversations. His passion for work and his family was only second to his love of Christ. I close by saying, farewell, my friend Lawrence. Being your friend has been an honor. All of us at PCCA love and miss you. We thank you sincerely for showing us God's blueprint on how we should live our lives through family, scripture, and giving prayer. Lawrence, please, greet the Lord for us. And even though we'll miss you, we'll surely see and meet you again.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Martin to come up.
Hi. On behalf of the entire high school group whom our brother served, and all the co-workers and teachers that our brother served with, we have this remembrance. Ever since Sunday night when we heard the news, all throughout this past week, I had this one verse repeated in my head. It was when Elijah departed, Elisha said to him, my father, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Remember many years ago, when we started a young people's book study, there was some confusion because some people thought that our brother Lawrence had written this little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And rightfully so. It wouldn't be a surprise to anyone who knew him, whether at home or at work, whether talking with young people or serving his mother or his family or co-workers, he always lived his life before God's presence. And he was the same Brother Lawrence on Sunday as he was on Monday, as he was on any day of the week, whether before men or before God. And we need a double portion of that Spirit. And we all knew, many people said, that he is like a soldier of Christ. And being a soldier, he was equipped with the full armor of God. And having a strong sense of righteousness as a breastplate, girded with truth, and that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and boy, he knew how to wield it. Whether it's speaking at the pulpit, or teaching Sunday school, or sharing at Bible study, everything he says is backed up by the word of God. And his passion for God's word was evident. His deep burden was so that the young people will be rooted and grounded and built up in the sound doctrine. And he also had this conviction that he will speak everything that he receives from God. Sometimes he would, after Sunday school, he would even come up to me and confess and say, I know what I said was difficult and maybe even unpopular, but it's the word from the Bible, and God said it, and God put it on my heart, and I cannot say otherwise. And we all knew his feet was shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In season and out of season, even in awkward or uncomfortable moments, whenever he was given an opportunity, he was ready to corner someone and share the full gospel. And I think many of us knew what that means to be cornered by him. Because he had this conviction that that any moment could be the last. As he often even asked the young people, if the Lord comes back tonight, are you ready? If the Lord takes you home today, are you saved? And such was our brother Lawrence, a turret for the gospel and a strong tower for the word of God. And we need a double portion of that Spirit. And there's also a tender and gentle side of our brother. He really loved and cared for the young people. I know this because his most common greeting to me on Friday nights were, Brother Martin, 吃饭了吗? Or have you eaten? But instead of it being just a cordial greeting of choice of many people in our culture, he would follow it up by producing two large boxes of takeout dinner. He would always bring us dinner because he was concerned that we would be too busy to eat before church. And I don't need to elaborate on the 50-piece Popeye chicken he brings to every picnic, or that legendary 11 gallons of ice cream to a small high school gathering because he thought three people can finish a whole gallon. Even during our last meeting, just hours before his passing on Sunday, he interrupted our discussion three times just so that he can make sure that we put down a date where he can take everyone out to lunch. And we'll take that rain check. The Bible says, owe no one anything except to love one another. And sharing food was his way of paying this debt of love. And we need a double portion of that Spirit, even though maybe only a single portion of the food. I believe our brother, if he were here today, he would not want to see sad faces moping, especially among the young people. Rather, he would want us to all stand up and press on, even at the heavy loss of a beloved saint. The testimony of Jesus must not suffer loss. So as we ask the Lord to grant us a spirit like our brothers, let our courage rise with danger and to overcome, just as our brother has overcome and went on to be with the King of Glory. So with that, we will invite all the high schoolers to come up. We want to sing this song in remembrance of our brother. Stand up for Jesus.
Christ is Lord indeed.
Schooler share with us, Timothy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Timothy, and to me, Brother Lawrence, he was not only a high school teacher, but a father figure and a friend. Every Sunday at night, he would call me and check up on how I was doing. He would also ask how school was going and what I learned from the lesson during that Sunday school. And sometimes when I heard the phone ring at Sunday night, I'd quickly run and go get my journal because I had forgot what I learned. And then I would ask my parents to stall, like talk to him maybe. And then I'd go quickly read my notes so I could answer his questions, which I knew he had. He really showed me that he loved and cared for me, but not only me, but the whole high school group. And he just wanted to bring up the whole generation, the younger generation, to be strong people in Christ and who are rooted in God's word. And he really impacted the high school group. And for example, he would come and take time out of his day to sit with us, fellowship with us in the Friday night Bible study, or prepare such clear points on the Sunday messages. And again, he would also bring us ice cream and bread. Just, we all gladly accepted that, but we were always so full after. And he really just did this with a generous heart and out of humility, and probably hoping to set an example for us so that we may do the same. Brother Lawrence, he brought me out to eat occasionally, and every time he fed me so much that I couldn't even walk. And really, he really cherished the fellowship time that we had with both my family and me. And really, I also want to learn how to cherish fellowship that much, too, over even a simple meal. And even though I will miss him, I'm so grateful that the Lord brought such a godly and influential person into my life and to teach me to be an example to others as he was for me. And right now, I have peace that he is with the Lord and in eternity, and I know that I will see him again some days. Thank you.
And I would like to ask one of our former high schoolers, young adult group, Matthew.
in light of eternity. This is the phrase that comes to mind when I think about our dear brother's life. He lived in the light of eternity. In an age where compromise has been a defining characteristic of the church, Brother Lawrence did not compromise. No one is perfect, but our brother stood for truth. He did not just speak the truth in power, he lived every word of it. If he read it in the Word of God, he was going to live it, and he was going to proclaim it as the voice of a prophet. For many, many years, our brother served the high schoolers among us with a mission that we would know the truth, because he had received revelation of a blessed assurance, the blessed assurance that Jesus was his and he was Jesus's, and he was not content to leave it unspoken. His love of the Lord and of the body was pervasive, and each one of us is here today because we were preciously touched by the love of the Lord in this man of God. He didn't see us who went through high school as high school students. He saw us as sons. Yeah, he said once to me, "If God sees you as his son, I see you as my son." He reminds us that doesn't matter how long you live, it's how you live. Our brother is a precious example to us that he who lives a life of love and service bears much fruit. And it was his story, it was his song, that he praised his Savior all his life long. People sometimes use the phrase, "We will never see his like again." But I don't think our brother believed that. I think his whole mission, that there would be many, many, especially among the young people, who like him would love and obey the Lord God and his word of truth all their lives long. Our brother fought a good fight, and he was not as he was not defeated in life, so too in Christ Jesus we know he is not defeated in death. For Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." We're just so thankful for our dear brother and for his impact upon many a life. And just praise the Lord.
I'd like to ask our brother Sean, who served with our brother Lawrence with the high school.
I met Brother Lawrence and his family in the early 90s, and after my family and I moved to Houston from New Jersey, and we had Bible study in my house with Lawrence and other families until we moved to the church meeting place. And a few years later, Brother Lawrence and Sister Chet began to join the high school ministry, and we have served together since then for many years. And he loved the young people, and he took opportunity to equip them in the Lord. And he shared the gospel whenever he has a chance. And Lawrence considered texting using smartphone is impersonal, and he preferred to pick up the phone and make a phone call. And he called many people and talked to them over the phone regularly during the week. And he also asked young people to share a meal with him frequently, so he can have a relaxed conversation with them. And even after young people had graduated from college, he still meet up with them and also look out for potential mate for them. And he also have high expectations for young people, and he made sure everyone had learned the important message during Bible study and Sunday school. And he's the only teacher who gave exam during Sunday school. And his desire is that young people can love God, honor God, and serve God with their lives. And Lawrence liked good and tasty food, and we did enjoy having fried chicken, braised the pork belly together in the past. But due to the high cholesterol, we had to refrain from having this food before our yearly physical exam. So, while sharing good food with others, and his most concern is the salvation of people around him. And if you are here to remember him, you are one of the people around him. But if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord today, Lawrence's desire is that you will know Christ and receive him. So one day we all will meet again in that wonderful place called heaven. And Lawrence has served the people in his generation, and we will definitely miss him.
I'd like to ask our brother Dale King.
An unbribed soul just came to my mind as I was listening to these comments. An unbribed soul. Sister Basa, Chat, Levi, Lynn, Lilibeth, and the rest of the family, you are blessed beyond measure. Being a funeral director, I've gone to thousands of funerals. You don't hear this type of testimony very often. You're blessed. And there's a reason that you're blessed. God said through David, Psalm 51:6, behold, God speaking, I desire truth in the innermost part. I desire reality in the innermost part. God says, I desire my Son, the Lord Jesus, in the inward part. This was Brother Lawrence. He had reality. I really appreciate when David got up here from PCCA, because we can say a lot of things on Sunday. We can do a lot of service on Sunday. But Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's what counts. Two things come to my mind when I heard the news. Number one, life is short. And Lawrence knew that. And I'd like to give a commercial right now. All that's being said today is secondhand. But 6 days ago, for 58 minutes, here in this city, close to the University of Houston, Lawrence spoke one of the most passionate messages that I've heard. Not knowing that he would be in the presence of the Lord a few hours later. That message is on HCA website under the subtitle Dumble Street. That was the real Lawrence. And one of the last things he said that morning, last Sunday morning, was, be ready. Lawrence was ready. He knew life was short, and he was ready. Ready meaning he was possessed. He was controlled. He was captured by the Lord Jesus. Not as a Sunday going to meeting thing, but the Lord Jesus was in him. Consumed him. And yes, let me say the word. He was obsessed with the Lord Jesus' life in him. Not patronizing, not something outward. It was in him. It was in his being. He couldn't help doing what he did at PCCA or with the young people. It came out naturally and we've heard it. We thank the Lord. This is the gospel. It's one thing to be saved. And I trust this morning that everyone here has received Christ into their life. But it's another thing to have the Lord Jesus live in your life moment by moment, 7 days a week. We've heard the testimony how he honored his mother. He loved Chat just the way it says in Ephesians 5. He loved Chat just as Christ loved the church and his siblings. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And it also encourages. I've been encouraged this morning in my own life to rise up. Life is very short. When Billy Graham was asked late on his life, what is the greatest surprise in your life? Billy Graham answered just like that. The brevity of life. Life is short. There's a number of us in this room right now. If we were to meet a year from now, we would not be here. And none of us know. Life, the length of life is no respecter of person. We don't know. But let's learn from this man's life to be ready, be passionate. Thank you.
I'd like to ask our brother Chong Jin to come up.
Our brother mentioned that the family of our brother Basa was a blessed one. And I'm also part of that blessed family. For such a blessing, I praise God.
时间的缘故, 我只讲一点点, 跟我们弟兄一些, 特殊的一些的经历.
Because of time, I will just share a little bit of my special experience with my brother.
当我第一次看到弟兄的时候,
when I first met our brother,
那是我顺服这个教会的负责的弟兄去接一个从菲律宾来的 弟兄来聚会.
And I was given a command by responsible brothers at church to go pick up this brother that just arrived from Philippines.
当我看到我弟兄的时候, 我非常的 吃惊.
When I first saw him, I was surprised.
他从头到脚, 整整齐齐, 干干净净.
And from head to toe, he was very clean and very groomed.
因为和我好像正好相反.
Because it was a great contrast for myself.
所以他要坐我的车, 我有点后悔.
And regretted that he had to be in my car because I thought I needed to clean my car a little better.
那么我不久我就发现说, 原来我弟兄是年长弟兄.
And then later on I found out he was elder from me.
你如果看刚才那个李伟听到他讲的那个见证的时候, 那个时候我弟兄已经在主的恩典里面已经20年了.
And because, as you heard what Levi has shared, at that time when I met him, he was already in the Lord for 20 years.
我刚信主, 不到两年.
And I was just a new believer of 2 years.
所以你要知道一个人是不是年长弟兄, 你看他上去一讲话, 你就知道了.
And if you want to know someone is, has in the well aged in the Lord, then you will know it by him hearing him speak.
他在那里祷告的时候, 你就知道了.
And when he prays, you will know it.
更是当他那里爱你的时候, 你更知道。
Especially you will know it when he pours out his love on you.
我们的弟兄, 他爱我, 他不是因为我帮忙。
And our brother loved me, not because I helped him.
因为他是一个活在爱里的人。
Because he lived in this love.
很多时候, 他爱我到一个地步, 我的孩子有点嫉妒。
To a point, he loved me so much so, to a point that my children are jealous of him.
有的时候, 在离别的时候,
sometimes when we are saying farewell, he would give me a big hug.
还要亲我
and even kiss me.
我你知道我是从中国大陆背景来的。
You know, I come from mainland China.
说实在的，我们在家里从来不做这种事情。
And at home, we don't even kiss each other.
你知道当我弟兄亲我的时候
，But when my brother kisses me,
我的孩子问我说 ，Uncle Basa 为什么这么爱你
？And my children will ask, how come Uncle Basa loves you so much?
我跟孩子说，我是因为 Uncle Basa 爱神的家。
Because I tell them because Uncle Basa loves the household of God.
他不仅爱我一个人
，He does not only love me.
刚才弟兄姊妹做见证，他爱每一个。神带进他生命中的每一个人。
And everyone has testified that he loves everyone that God has brought into his life.
我们的弟兄，他爱不是为了建立地上的情感。
And he loves not so that he can establish a social, emotional.
他乃是让我们成为同门天路圣洁的弟兄。
But that we can all be established, as saints who are pursuing this heavenly, life.
弟兄，他这样的爱我，他并没有好像。有什么话就好像就是避讳不说。
And because he loves me, just only because he loves me, it does not mean that he will avoid some topics.
我们都晓得我们的弟兄有话直说的。
And we know he's very straightforward.
他跟我说，弟兄，眼睛要看到主身上。
And he would tell me, brother, focus your eyes on the Lord.
弟兄，主在宝座上。
Brothers, see the Lord on the throne.
弟兄，不要为肉体安排放纵情欲。
Our brother, do not indulge your flesh.
弟兄，这件事不可以做，因为得罪神。
And he will say, brother, this thing should not be done because it offends God.
我因为有这样的属天的同伴，我里面非常的在灵里面得到常常得到的扶持。
And because of such a heavenly companion, I'm always encouraged in my spirit.
在有一段的时间里面，我想主的安排非常的奇妙。
There was a period of time because there is something that the Lord has arranged that I felt very wonderful.
有的时候他讲到我给他翻译。
And there was a time where he would preach and I would translate for him.
我讲到他给我翻译。
And then when I preach, he would translate for me.
你会感觉到旁边这个人他的心是好像是火烫的一样。
And when I stand next to him, I can feel that his heart was burning with fire.
当他在给我翻译的时候，我觉得后面有一个强大的力量在推着你往前走。
When he translates for me, as if there was a great strength that's pushing me forward.
当他在那里讲我给他翻译的时候，他好像个火车头一样一直的往前冲。
And when I translate for him, I felt like I'm following behind a great locomotive that's just pressing on forward.
你看这里有一个人，他向着主的心，他向着神的教会，有个火烫的心。
And you see someone's heart is burning for the house of God.
然后灵里面常常得到这样的扶持。
And my spirit is also strengthened by him.
然后我们就有这样一个荣耀的盼望。
And we also together have this glorious hope.
我们相信那一天，我们还要和我弟兄一同站在一起，来侍奉我们的神。
We trust one day we will stand with our brother and serve our God together.
最后，我记得是去年十一月，我最后一次看到我的弟兄。
Lastly, I remember it was last November when I saw him for the last time.
他不仅亲我一次。
Not only he kissed me once,
亲我两次
he kissed me twice.
他舍不得我离开
he did not want me to leave.
我每次想到我的弟兄的时候
and whenever I remember him,
我就想到哥林多后书第四章
I remember
第七节
Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7.
我们有着宝贝放在瓦器里，要显明这莫大的能力是出于神，不是出于我们。
That we have this earthen stone.This treasure in the earthen vessel, and so that the power is not from God, us, but from God.
四面受敌却不被困住。
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
心里作难却不致失望。
Perplexed, but not despairing.
遭逼迫却不被丢弃。
Persecuted, not forsaken.
打倒了却不致死亡。
Cast down, but not destroyed.
身上常带着耶稣的死，使耶稣的生也显明在我们的身上。
Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.That so the life of Jesus can also be made manifest.
我的弟兄身体是软弱的。
Our brother had an illness in his body.
一直受这个疾病的缠累， 可以说一生都受这个疾病的缠累。
He had been troubled by the same illness for all his life.
他有的时候也跟我讲这个软弱。
And he sometimes he would tell me of his weakness.
他不是好像一个好像是一个圣人，好像从来没有软弱过。
He was not this saint that had no illness or problem.
他有的时候握着我的手，为了教会的光景，跟我一起哭泣。
Sometimes for and he will hold my hand and cry with me.
但是我里面有个感觉。
But I had the sense in my heart.
有个宝贝在我们的里面。
There is a treasure in the earthen vessel.
感谢。
We praise the Lord.
Thank you. I want to ask the choir to come up. Thank you.
like to read two verses. First one is Mark, chapter 14, from verse 6 to verse 9. Mark, chapter 14, from the verse 6 to verse 9. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me." She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. The second verse is Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30. Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30. "I searched for a man among them who could build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one." On January 19, Brothers Lawrence gave his last message in the morning at Dumbo. As he has always in the last decade, he opened his message. The first thing out of his mouth was, "You've loved the Lord. It is today." That was the first thing out of his mouth from his last message on this earth. "You've loved the Lord. It is today." Because we don't know what happens tomorrow. Then he said we should focus our life on one thing, which is our Lord Jesus. The burden was so strong in the beginning, he even wept during his opening prayers. I encourage you to listen to his last message. He spent the past 19 months to go through the letter to Colossians. He finished the book. He completed his last message on Colossians on his last day. Then he came to West office to join high school co-workers meetings. And that meeting lasts until 4 p.m. in the afternoons. And Brother Albert took him home afterwards. Brother Lawrence spent his last day serving in the house of the Lord. So we can say Brother Lawrence served the Lord until the end. So as I waited before the Lord concerning this time, the verses in Mark 14, verse 8, came to my mind. And that little phrase, "She has done what she could." And that is the word that Jesus described Mary, who gave her all to our Lord Jesus. And that is the same feeling that I had for Brother Lawrence, that he has done what he could. And that's the best way I can remember my brothers. He has done what he could.
He has done what he could in the house of the Lord. There's one thing that many of you may not know. 30 years ago, by the way, he used to go to Galveston once a month. And afterwards, by the way, gave that responsibility to Brother Lawrence. So Brother Lawrence went to Galveston once every month, driving all the way from Northwest Houston to the island of Galveston. Do you know how many years he's gone to Galveston? Almost 20 years. And not many of you even know that. Months after months, for almost 20 years. That's why today we have some saints from Galveston. He accepted responsibility and he kept it for 20 years. Brother and sister, will you be able to accept a responsibility and keep it for 20 years? He has done what he could. The book of Ezekiel has this word. God was looking for a man who could build up the wall and stand in the gap before God for the land. And Brother Lawrence was such a man. When he sought a gap, he never criticized the gap. He stood in the gap. Years ago, we had a great gap developed in the assembly at Dumbo. And Brother Lawrence stood in the gap. He went there once every month. For decades. And continued that burden until his last day. And finish up his last message on the book of Colossians. He answered the call and stood in the gap before the Lord for the church. He has done what he could. When he served, he gave it all. For many years ago, he used to translate for me. That was a terrible feeling at the time. Because he would call me on Monday morning and say, "Brother, what is your outline of scriptures?" Knowing me, I have no idea on Monday. It's scary. I have nothing on Monday. I have nothing on Tuesday. I have nothing on Wednesday. And he became nervous. And he said, "Brother, I need a whole week to prepare for the translations." That's how brothers serve. When he translates for me, you will not be able to tell who is speaking, who is translating. And somebody was saying that he is speaking, I'm translating. You cannot really tell. Because he put his heart into it. That's the way Brother Lawrence served the Lord. He gave the all. He did what he could. Many of us remember him as someone standing in front of everybody, giving messages. But do you know Brother Lawrence washed dishes on Sunday regularly? How many brothers wash dishes on Sunday? Brother Lawrence was one of them. He's not only standing in front of you. He's standing behind you, back in the kitchen, wash all the dishes. He did what he could. He really loves young people. I think you can very much understand from the sharing this morning. But I want to tell you that there are three convictions in his heart for young people. The first conviction that he had is that the word of the Lord is essential in raising our children for the Lord. When the word of the Lord is in the heart of our young people, they can conduct themselves with wisdom toward the world. That's his first conviction. The word of the Lord is the base, is the foundation for us to raise our children. His second conviction, the teaching of the word of the Lord is the parents' responsibilities. This is his deep conviction, his deep burden he wants to share with all the parents. It's the parents' responsibility to teach the word of the Lord to our children. Then the third conviction is our living. Our daily living must be compatible with the word of the Lord so that the word of the Lord will not be dishonored. So these are the three very deep convictions in the heart of our brothers that came through in his last message. He held this conviction very deeply in his heart. So I encourage all the parents, all the young people to listen to the last message on Sunday, January 19. It is a wonderful way for all of us to remember Brother Lawrence. Not only listen to the message, consider that before the Lord, if that should become our convictions. If his convictions become our convictions, that is the best way all of us can remember our beloved Brother Lawrence. He truly loves our young people. When we talk, the subject always around our young people. Spend time with them on Friday nights. Spend time with them on Sunday. Even spend his last few hours of his life concerning serving young people. He has done. It's very obvious he has done what he could to serve his family and friends. He heard plenty from his family and friends. He loved his family as himself. He would do more for his family and his friend than we would do for himself. He served his friend like his family. But I want to mention one thing specifically. How he honored his father and his mother. We all can learn something about that. How to honor your father and your mother. I have not seen any brother that done as much as Brother Lawrence for his father and his mother as Lawrence. He served them with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. He took care of every detail of their life, just as he took care of his sister's life while she was with him. He has done what he could for his family and for his friends. We're sad today because we lost a pillar in the house of the Lord. As Revelation said, he who overcomes become a pillar in the house of the Lord. For the last 30 years, Brother Lawrence has become a pillar in the house of the Lord. We're sad today because we lost a beloved brother. We consider Brother Lawrence a beloved brother, faithful servant, a fellow bond servants, no matter what circumstances we are in, we can always count on Him for His comfort, for His encouragement, for His prayers, for His companionships. But the Lord has closed His last message on Sunday on preparing for the Lord's coming. He asked the saints at Dumble, are we ready? Are we ready for the Lord's coming? Brothers and sisters and friends, how can we be ready for His coming? I think there's one thing. All of us can be ready. It's to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our minds. And remember, if you do want to love the Lord, it is today. This is the best way for all of us to remember our brother Lawrence. So nothing will make brother Lawrence happier if there are more people that love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul, and become a victor. The victor in Jesus. The victor in the light of Calvary. Thank you.
I'm going to ask us all to stand again and sing I Dare Not Be Defeated. And then when we're finished, it's open for a few of you to, as the Spirit leads, to pray, and I'll close. Let's sing together I Dare Not Be Defeated.
came back to you. For us yet simply left on earth. Lord, make us a victor. Lord, make us a pillar. Lord, while we still have today, help us to be prepared. Lord, come back soon. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Lord, we give thee thanks and praise for this precious time you have given us to be in your presence. Amen. To remember your work in our Lord, in our dear brother's life. As we have gathered to remember our brother, we celebrate your steadfast love our brother has experienced moment by moment in his life. Indeed, we celebrate your victory as we celebrate our brother's life. For indeed, the good work which you started in his life, you have faithfully finished it. And all glory, honor, and praise belongs to thee. We remember our brother, if he would have to say something, he would have said, I have labored out of my love for young people and for all, because it was not I who labored, but the grace which was given to me. Amen. So, Father, we thank thee for your faithfulness in sending your Son unto us. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your love for us, for you lay down your life for us. And blessed Holy Spirit, the work which you started, you are faithful to complete it. So, Father, we just rest in thee as our brother is resting in your bosom. Amen. With this glorious hope that we will see him once again face to face and celebrate you and your love you have for us. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Brother, we know of by your love in him, oh Lord, our brother has done all he could. Oh Lord, may our brother be our example, oh Lord, to serve you, to love you, and to serve others, and to love others. Oh Lord, oh we pray, oh Lord, that we can, oh, can you can also rise up young generations, oh, to like our brother, oh, to grow in you, oh, to become pillar in your church, Lord. Oh, Lord, through our brother's life, oh, Lord, oh, we pray that, oh, Lord, the love, oh, that from you, oh, will also constrain us. So we will not just live for ourselves, but live for the one who loves us and give, oh, your life to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we also pray that you comfort, oh, our dear brother's family, oh, and friends, Lord. Oh, Lord, that, oh, we know, oh, Lord, that you have given our brother as a gift to all of us. Oh, Lord, may we carry on. May we carry on to live out the love of Christ in each one of us. So we can, oh Lord, one day we all stand before you and worship you and praise you. Make us a conqueror in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Life of Christ, Lord, we thank you that you laid hold of our brother so many years ago, and he has shown his life, shown your life to each of us. Lord, while we miss him, we look forward to seeing him in glory when we meet before you. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in your name.
Lord, we thank you. You say on the earth, I came not to be served, but to serve. So we thank you that you have manifested your life fully through our brother. And your love, your perfect love, no matter where and when he will pick up his cross and follow after you, truly he has overcome. And we thank you that you have poured out his life among us. May in our heart we can also have this conviction that we will pick up our cross and follow after you. We know that you are with us.
And you are
seated on the throne in heaven, and our brother is there with you. We thank you for such a promise. Let us all rise up to love you. Moment by moment, may we love you more.
And we thank you for the time that you gave us with our brother. We thank you for how he led a life of just love, of caring, of pouring out the life of Christ. Lord, as you used him as a vessel to shine forth your life, to encourage us, Lord, we want to continue to even though we are sad to not have more time with him, Lord, at the same time, we are rejoicing. He is with you and we are encouraged. We do want to rise up. We dare not be defeated because you have made provision, Lord. So may you reap the harvest. May we go forth and as our brother did, may we love you with all our strength, all our heart, all our might. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Just one quick announcement again on behalf of our sister Basa and Grandma Basa and Levi. We thank you. Levi wants to say another word, so we will.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you guys so much for coming today. All the testimonies and just seeing your faces today have been very big encouragement to all our family from all over. Thank you guys so much, and thank you for praying for us and loving on us. Thank you.
Amen. We will continue to pray for you. So tomorrow, there is an additional time of visitation tomorrow at the Chapel of Eternal Peace at Forest Park. So from a little before noon to 2, there's a visitation time, and then the burial will be tomorrow at 2:30. 10 to 2. Okay, so 10 to 2 is the total window for visitation. 2:30, we'll have the start of the burial service, so you're welcome to join us if you do. Forest Park is a big facility. You're actually going to, it's on Derry Ashford. The Chapel of Eternal Peace is at 2454 South Derry Ashford. So that's where we'll gather and then shortly after have the burial. So with that, I thank you and we're dismissed.